We're okay for the recording. Thanks, Pat. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Deanna, a compulsive overeater from BC. And Deanna, how would you like, we have a timer, Chris, how would you like to do your talk? Do you want like a 5 minute warning, 10 minute, if you could just let Chris know? Deanna, you want to just unmute yourself? She's having trouble unmuting herself. Pat, can you help Deanna unmute herself? Oh.
I'm trying to find her. Just a
she's
minute.
Below Jessica.
Oh, there you are. They're at the bottom. Right here. Okay. There you
there
go.
There we go. Thank you.
Sorry. I was looking for you. Anyway, sorry.
It's a lot of faces. I can see how it'd be easy to lose me. Hi, I'm Deanna. I'm a compulsive overeater. For time wise, remind me again how long I'm speaking for.
I think it's about 30 minutes. Is that right, Pat?
30 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think it would be helpful to do like maybe first 10 minutes, second 10 minutes. And then, like, just a minute or, you know, a little couple minutes before the end to wrap
okay.
it up. That would be great.
That counts.
Thank you. So, first of all, just would like to apologize to Jessica and Pat who were trying to reach me. I was on my computer and there'd been updates, and I should have started earlier knowing that I was speaking. So, I apologize for making you wonder if I was coming or not. I didn't mean to be so exciting. Yeah, I do apologize for that. But I made it. I'm here. Thank goodness. I would love to just start with a set aside prayer, if I could, just to clear my head. I'm going to put it in the chat in case anyone wants to know it or say it with me. God, today help me set aside everything I think I know about you. Everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so that I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. And in this case, please also help me say what needs to be heard in this meeting. Thank you. So I have been in the OA program for about 13 years. I measure a bit by my youngest child's age because they were a little baby when I came in. I, just to qualify, I've lost over 100 pounds. I'm now perimenopausal, and so I've gained some of those back, but not because I'm overeating, just because of whatever's happening in my body. And I'm working with my sponsor and with professionals to sort of figure out how to adapt to this new hormonal reality. But I think my top weight was over 300 pounds. I stopped looking at the scale when I went into the doctor's office after 300 pounds just because it wasn't helpful. I couldn't do anything to stop it. Probably my lowest moment was I was diabetic. I'm happy to say I've reversed the diabetes now, which is awesome, but I was diabetic with and while I was pregnant, I had to take insulin, and I have this very vivid memory of not being able to follow the food plan they gave me and sort of pretending that I was. But it when in fact it was this very important thing that I eat what they told and that I took this certain amount of insulin to counteract, you know, the effects in order to keep me and my baby healthy. And I couldn't be honest about what I was eating. I was still binging every night, guessing at how much insulin I should take. And there were times where I took too much and like almost died. And had to eat more, like after a binge, after there was no room in my body whatsoever, realizing that I'd overshot with the insulin and I had to take even more sugar into my body to keep from dying. And that was one of my lowest lows. It's not what brought me into the rooms, though. That still took a couple more years. I was introduced to OA from my sister. She's now passed away, but one of the most wonderful things she did for me was go into recovery. And I saw, even before she began losing weight, I saw her becoming sane, kind. We could be in the room without having a fight, which was never possible before. And so I could see it changing her in a deep way. And when I was ready, I shared with her that I could not stop binging. And actually, my husband as well, we're both in the program now, could not stop binging every night. And she said to me, "It's not your fault, but when you're ready, there's a solution. But until you're ready, just at least know it's not your fault." Which was so hard for me to believe at the time. I was just like filled with shame about it. It was just mortifying every night having to, like, you know, every binge was the last binge. "Okay, we have to stop doing this. This is really bad for us. Yeah, we got it. We can't do this anymore. So since we're going to stop tomorrow, let's make this a really good one." And we would do that every night. We would go to 7-Eleven so often that when we went away for a weekend, the guy at 7-Eleven, when we came back again, was like, "Hey, have you guys been away?" Which was also one of my like key shame moments to realize that people noticed that it was us every night buying the same, you know, like enormous. I don't know if I have a lot to talk about food, but you guys all probably know. Just fill in the blanks with your own binge foods, I guess. But really, like family-sized amounts of food for one person, and so that's how bad it was. And I know I'm meant to talk about the 12 steps, which have saved my life and are, I don't know how people live without the 12 steps, honestly, addiction or no addiction. They have helped me reverse the diabetes, which is really important because I'm watching my parents who are both compulsive eaters and the just terrible things that they're suffering in their old age, having lived with this disease. And I feel like by the grace of God, I am being spared that fate. So yeah, the weight loss, the reverse diabetes, there's a lot of medications I suddenly didn't need anymore when I was taking care of myself. But most of all is the peace of mind in my heart and soul. My relationships have improved. Like, these are things I didn't come here for. I just came to get skinny and I didn't care how crazy I was in my head if I could just accomplish that. It was vanity that brought me in, and the gifts that I have been given are just outweigh that so much. I can't even express it. So I've done the steps a few times. The first sponsor I had was someone who, I would like to preface what I'm about to say by everybody is different. Like, our relationships with food, some it's anorexia, some it's restricting, some it's binging, some it's volume, some it's specific ingredients. Like, we all have our own kind of thing, and it's important to hear other people share their stories and work with your sponsor to figure out what will help you the most. The first sponsor I had was someone who could eat everything in moderation. Lucky her. I'm not that person. I discovered later, I'm the kind of person that if I have a bite of sugar, just as an example, there's a few ingredients, but that's one. I can't stop thinking about sugar until it's all gone. And then really, I still don't ever stop thinking about it. It just, quiet and slightly for a while. But it's like I'm like an alcoholic with alcohol when it comes to sugar. Any amount just sets off that craving. You can read about it in the doctor's opinion in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous if you like. And this is what my sister was talking about when she said it's not your fault. Like, I have an abnormal reaction to sugar. It's like an allergy. In the program, we call it an allergy of the body. So the sponsor helped me with a lot of things, but she wasn't able to help me get and stay abstinent because I was consuming things that were like alcoholic foods for me. The good news is I kept in all these 13 years, all the highs and lows I've been through, I kept coming to meetings. I never stopped coming to meetings. So there was always that opportunity for me to hear what I needed to hear and learn the next thing that would help me. I feel like it's taken me a long time to sort of find all of the different things that have helped me recover. For example, the first time I went through the steps, I used the OA workbook. This is the old one because this is like 13 years ago, the brown colored one. And I don't even remember all of the questions that I answered in there, but like some of them helped me realize, just as an example, I would watch TV and binge every night with my husband. And one of those questions in there, and I don't remember which one, helped me realize like watching TV. And part of why I was binging is just because I was a sugar addict, but part was just out of boredom. And if I had been engaged with something I enjoyed more, instead of just sort of politely keeping my husband company doing the thing he likes to do, I probably would eat less, So I started to become honest with myself as I started to take the time to look at these questions. The other thing was, I was not an atheist, but I did not have a faith. I sort of projected all of my parental stuff onto the concept of God. So yeah, I knew there was one, but didn't really know what it was, didn't really think it cared about me or that I mattered. And just sort of didn't trust it, I guess. And so in that workbook, they ask you to like write out what you would want your higher power to be. And I really took that like almost like a dare. Like I made up something absurd. I was like, okay, because I didn't think it was going to work. I didn't have any faith it was going to work. And I kind of wanted to prove that it wouldn't work. I was like a little bit cocky about it. So I was like, all right.
Sorry, excuse me. That's your first 10 minutes, Deanna.
Thank you. So I was like, okay, God, I want God to look like Jeff Bridges in The Big Lebowski, and I want him to like be really cool, and I want him to like know what I need without me having to ask, and know what I mean even if I say it wrong. And I had like a long list of sort of things, and then started acting as if, which is what they tell you to do. And like to my shock and chagrin, it helped. Like it helped to pray to this sort of goofy thing I made up in my head. And I don't understand why that works, but it works. And kind of in hindsight, I'm like, well, maybe my higher power is just willing to take whatever form I need it to take, or need them to take. I don't know how to describe my higher power. I've heard people say, if I could describe it and understand it, it wouldn't be powerful enough to help me. And I kind of like that. I might be misquoting that, but yeah, if it was small enough to explain, it would be too small to help me. So, but this got me started, and really, that's all you need in the first few days is to get started, act as if, dare it to show up, give it a try. As long as it's bigger than you. And more powerful than you are, it can help you. So I'm now feeling shy about disclosing. my first firefighter, which is so silly. But anyway, so then that's what I got. That was my big takeaway from that first set of steps. I did them again later in the HAL program. The HAL program has a prescribed diet, which in the first 30 days, I think you don't have carbs at all. Like, I'm not recommending this because I don't know what a nutritionist would say about that. I'm just telling my story. But what that showed me was that was my first experience of knowing what it felt like to not have food cravings. I mean, I had them like crazy for 3 or 4 days, and then it was just like quiet. And it was the first time in my life, like, I didn't even know that was possible. I thought everyone was walking around thinking about food all the time because that's all I did. And I just thought other people were better at making, you know, at using willpower. But it turns out some people walk around not thinking about food all the time. And like, thanks to this program, I am now one of those people. Like, now I have teenagers and we have junk food in the house. We have my binge foods in the house, and I don't even remember they're there. And there was a time when if we had anything in the house like that, not only would I know it was there, but I would know how much there was. I would be noticing who was eating it and how much they were eating. And I would be tracking it and worried about if I was going to get my share. And I would probably eat all of it at the first chance I got. But it turns out food neutrality is a thing. And I wish that for all of you, for all of us who suffer from this. I discovered it by this like sort of gray sheet first 30 day thing that they do in the HAL program. But the HAL program diet still contained foods, like, because you reintroduce things after the 30 days. And so it still contained foods that were triggering me, that for many people are safe. And so I ended up discovering, and it also makes you restart every time you eat. Every time you eat off of your food plan, you have to go back to the first questions. So I wasn't making very much progress because I kept having to go back to the beginning and back to the beginning and back to the beginning. And eventually I felt like, okay, this isn't the right program for me. I need to try something else. The next set of steps I did was I met with a group of people and we did, like, went through the big book and did things the big book way. And there were these forms that we found online that we could download to just, you know, do it like the alcoholics did. And that's when all the pieces really came together for me, where I realized, okay, there's the allergy of the body and I have to really stop having those foods in order to be free of the cravings. And it's worth it. Like, what you don't know when you're thinking about giving up, like, the foods you love, it seems like, oh God, I could never do that. And of course you couldn't. But once it's out of your system, if you can like white knuckle it long enough to get it out of your system using the tools and the steps to the best of your ability, then it goes away. And then it's just a matter of staying away from those foods. And for that, that's where the rest of the steps all come in. I'll come in handy. So, and it was during that process. So I was meeting with the same people every week to do these steps. And I can't recommend that enough, because then you have this group of people that all know your stuff. And we all became very close and we became people that we could call at any time. And I'm someone who came into this program very like averse to using the phone. It's still the most difficult part of this program for me. The most difficult tool to use is the phone. But it is also, I have to admit, the most helpful. I mean, assuming the steps are the most helpful, but like the tool, it's the most helpful tool for me is to connect with fellows and be honest and tell on myself if I'm thinking about food, tell on myself if I'm harboring a resentment, whatever it is. So that's when I really got clear on, like, you know, OA's definition of abstinence, I believe, is refraining from eating compulsively. Okay, I don't want to misquote OA's definition of abstinence, but it's something along the lines, please look it up, don't rely on me, something about refraining from eating compulsively and compulsive food behaviors. And so I got clear on what my foods were and what my food behaviors were that I needed to refrain from. I use a food plan. For me, it is like the guardrails on a bridge. It's not like I'm bad if I eat something I'm not supposed to. It's more like for my safety, you know, like I also weigh and measure my food. That's not for everybody. I totally get that. But what I like about it is, for me, it's like these safety rails, so that if I'm getting too close to that edge, or if I'm tempted to hop over that edge, I know if something's up and it gets my attention. And by getting my attention, like if I find myself standing with the fridge open and I've already eaten the food I planned, then something else is happening. Like food is the solution. It's not the problem. It is the solution to the problems I'm having, is how I've come to look at it. So if I'm craving food and I haven't triggered the allergy of the body, so I haven't eaten anything that set that off, and I'm just standing there craving food, it usually means that there's something up with me. Like I'm afraid of something almost always, worried about something, or I'm resenting someone. And I believe the big book calls resentment the dubious luxury of normal men. Like, I am not a normal man. I'm not a normal person. I can't harbor a resentment. If I am, I find myself at the fridge. So, and with these teenagers in my house, I've got this like food all over the place. So I can't let myself run amok with resentments or fears, or wanting to control other people is a famous one. When I did the steps the big book way, I realized it was really the same scenarios over and over. Like, I, you know, you list all your resentments and all your fears, and the amount of times it was just repeating one but with a different person, or repeating the same thing but with a different scenario. It just came up over and over and over again. Oh yeah, I'm afraid of being, like, one of them was, like, I was afraid of being a sucker, like afraid of being tricked. And that just came up over and over and over again. And the amount of problems I caused myself trying to avoid being tricked was just ridiculous. So, like, when you do that inventory, you could see, like, it might seem huge, but it's really probably, if you're like me, it might just be the same few things over and over and over again, which makes it easy to kind of, going forward, watch out for those things. Watch out when I'm, you know, getting caught up in something like that. So yeah, so that inventory process, of course, you carry it on with you know, you make amends and get it. I'm really good at apologies now. I've just like pummeled my ego with this process. It's like, it's easier and easier and easier to admit I'm wrong. And yeah, so now I just watch. Hopefully I will catch it by just checking in with myself at certain times of the day to see, am I resentful? Am I fearful? You know, or noticing when it happens before the fridge is open. But at the very least, I'll notice when the fridge is open. And worst case scenario, I will notice while I'm eating something I'm not supposed to. And that I immediately tell on myself. I call somebody, I let them know. Or if I'm too embarrassed to call, I'll text. It's just that reaching out is so important right away. And to be kind to yourself, remember it's not your fault, but you need to keep using the solution to stay well.
Excuse me, Deanna, that's 20 minutes now. You've got 10 left. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Chris. So, yeah, this is how I live now. And it has made my life so much better. As I said, you know, I was able to reverse diabetes, quieten the food cravings, and not always, like, they'll still come up, as I think I've indicated, they do come up from time to time, but it's infrequent, it's less intense, and I know what to do when it happens, and that is a gift I never imagined. You know, being able to, like, sit on any chair without having to worry about it breaking, even wicker, that's pretty nice, that's a good gift. But the best thing of all is really just my head is much quieter. I'm not planning 17 steps ahead to prevent this disaster or that disaster. I'm not trying to manipulate people to get what I want. I'm not steeping in resentment all the time. I'm like healing, learning about myself, accepting myself, feeling good about myself. And oh my gosh, what a blessing. Like, what a blessing. I feel like the luckiest person alive. And I know it can sound crazy when you're new and someone is talking about being grateful for being a compulsive eater. It sounds ridiculous. But honestly, I'm glad that I discovered this way of living, because it has just far, it's exceeded my expectations. I still remember hearing the promises for the first time and thinking they sounded really pie in the sky. But yeah, they're coming true for me. And it's not like life is always easy. Like currently, one of my children is suicidal, and that is hard walk to walk. And I wouldn't be able to do it, much less do it soberly, without being able to reach out to my fellows and to share with them and to ask my higher power to tell me what's the next right thing to do. Being present in the moment, and just taking each moment at a time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen a month from now or next year, but I know that right now we're all okay. And the next right thing a minute ago was to get on this meeting and share my story with you. And after that, probably the next right thing will be to make a healthy meal. And I live my life like that, just kind of trying to be grounded and sane and present. And yeah, I mean, I could do a talk about each step in depth, but I've heard that the ones that cause, that can trip you up, if you've like done the steps and you're still struggling, I've heard from people wiser than me that step two is often a stumbling block if you haven't got a higher power that you have faith in. And step 10 was my big takeaway from that step study that I did with my friends with the big book that I talked about. It's that just daily, or even not even daily, just as it comes, someone cuts me off in traffic and I'm like, ah, cuss word. And then I'm like, okay, you know, take a deep breath. Not my job to drive that person's car. It's my job to drive my car. That person's probably late or has to pee, or their wife is having a baby, or something's going on for them that I don't know anything about. And they felt that's what they needed to do. I can just pray for them, let it go. Turn on my Ahoy podcast, take some deep breaths, and, you know, and find someone to help. That's part of the step 10 process. Okay, I feel like I'm rambling now. I hope you'll ask questions if you have any, and I'll put my name in the chat, my phone number and name in the chat. If you want to reach out, I am a super busy person. Like I say, I'm the mom of two kids with special needs. One is really struggling. So I ask for your grace if I'm slow to get back, but I will get back to you if you reach out to me. One thing that I want to mention is it's important not to make your sponsor your higher power. I think I talked about how I had like, I projected all my parental issues onto my idea of a higher power before, and I can do that with my sponsor, and have done that with my sponsor too, where I made them my higher power. If they approved of me, I was good. If they didn't approve of me, I was bad. You know, and that leads to like hiding stuff from your sponsor, and it's easy to lose track of the fact that your sponsor is just another addict like you. Like, they're not, you don't graduate. Like, you're just, we're all just addicts doing our best. And so yeah, and like, I've learned something from each of my sponsors. They've all been very valuable to me in one way or another, and I've learned important things from all of them. And when it's time to move on,
that's 5 minutes. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I think the most important thing is to not do this alone. So just find someone who has what you want and ask them to support you. If you have someone who is helping you, make sure that they're not your higher power. Make sure they're just like part of your squad. And I wouldn't have been able to do what I've done if I hadn't done stuff that I thought was a terrible idea. Like sometimes my sponsor would say, like, you know, like I just remember, maybe you should weigh and measure your food. And I'm like, God, no, I don't want to do that. And she was like, what's this for 30 days? And so we did. And sure enough, it gave me peace of mind like I'd never had before. Fine, I'll keep doing it. You know, but like, just, yeah. I recommend doing your best to give it a try. But if something really isn't working for you, like the way eating everything in moderation was not working for me, then it's okay to move on and find someone else who maybe has some information that you don't have yet that could help you. But yeah, and I, you know, I wanted to say again, I'm just sharing my experience here, and everybody's got a different journey. And I'm still learning. 13 years in, I still am learning from my fellows. And I'm grateful for everyone that does service. I don't want to miss my chance to talk about service. That's a really, really important one for keeping our show on the road, because we all depend on it. Sponsoring other people helps me stay sane, like nothing else. Like if you're on step one or two, don't worry about that right now. By the time you get there, you'll feel more ready. And actually, I didn't even feel ready till I'd done it a few times. But yeah, I feel like the alcoholics that put this program together and the compulsive eaters that's made it work for people like us, they learned all the stuff the hard way so that we don't have to. We can just trust what's written down in the big book. We can trust the literature. We can trust the process. And most of all, we can trust our higher power to show us what's right for us. I recommend trying out surrender if you haven't tried it yet. Just giving up, being out of ideas, and just trying what your higher power puts in front of you, what the universe puts in front of you, what this program has put in front of you. Just give it a try. And if you're like me, you will be so grateful. I think I could ramble some more, but I think I'll stop there. Hope I said something that helped somebody.
Thank you so much, Deanna. And